Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are stepping right into the middle of what feels like a civil war, really.
It does.
If you've spent any time at all in a B2B company, you know exactly the battle I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's that eternal struggle between marketing and sales.
It really is the heavyweight title fight of business strategy. It gets so tribal.
It does. In the red corner, you've got inbound leads, the whole they came to us organic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the blue corner, you have outbound, the we went to them, cold calling, hit the pavement approach. And people treat it like sports. You pick a team and you just yell at the other side.
Which is, I mean, it's so counterproductive. If there's one thing we need to clear up right away, it's that viewing them as competitors is a huge strategic mistake.
Just a mistake.
It's the quickest way to break your entire revenue engine.
And that is the hook for today. We're bringing down a stack of research, and we're focusing on a really comprehensive analysis from Reach Marketing about, you know, examples of inbound versus outbound. Our mission is to just dismantle that versus mentality.
We have to. We need to stop looking at it as a binary choice.
Uh-huh.
The whole goal of this deep dive is to understand how these two strategies function, not as enemies, but as, like, distinct pistons in the same engine.
Right.
Because if you're over-indexed on one just based on ideology,
yeah,
you are leaving so much money on the table.
Okay, let's get into the mechanics then.
Yeah.
Because I think for most people, the distinction is pretty superficial. Inbound means they click something. Outbound means we sent a cold email. But the source material argues it's way more fundamental.
It is fundamental. The core distinction, and if you take nothing else away from this, take this, it's all about buyer entry points.
Buyer entry points. Okay, break that down for me.
It's about who holds the initiative. With inbound, the prospect initiates. They're the active one.
Gotcha.
They find you through your content, through search, social media, whatever. The key is that they already have a need they recognize. They're looking for a solution.
So they're the ones doing the hunting.
Exactly. Now, with outbound, the organization, your organization, initiates. You identify a target and you reach out, email, LinkedIn, a call.
And that buyer might not be looking.
They might not be. In fact, they might not even know they have a problem yet.
So if inbound is, I have a headache, where's the aspirin? Outbound is you tapping them on the shoulder and saying, hey, you look like you're about to get a migraine.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. And that tiny difference in mindset changes everything about how you have to handle that conversation.
Okay, let's dig into inbound first. The whole art of being found.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when an executive says, we need more inbound, what they really mean is just write more blog posts. But the source gives us some specific sort of in the wild examples of what this actually looks like.
Oh, it goes way deeper than just blogging. The source outlines these narratives that really illustrate that organic entry point. Take the persona of the researcher.
I think we've all been this person at 2 a.m.
Exactly. You picture a marketing director. It's Tuesday. They're frustrated. Lead quality is down. So they go to Google and search how to improve lead quality B2B.
They don't want a sales pitch.
No, they want to be educated. So they land on this, you know, long form guide. They read it. Maybe they subscribe to a newsletter.
But they don't buy anything.
Not that day. Yeah. But 2 weeks later, they request a demo. That is classic inbound. The trust was built before your sales team even knew that person existed.
The source also mentioned the podcast listener, which feels a little meta for us right now.
It is meta, but it's a massive channel. A founder hears a CEO on a show, gets curious about their thinking, visits the website, signs up for a webinar.
Right.
And only then, after they've consumed maybe hours of content, do they actually contact sales.
And then there's the social observer. I see this on LinkedIn all the time. The lurkers.
The lurkers are your best prospects. This is the RevOps leader who follows your company page. They see your posts. They read your takes on things. They might, you know, like a comment here and there.
Mm.
And then eventually they download a gated piece of content.
So what's the common thread here between the researcher, the listener, the observer? What connects them?
The common thread is intent. In every single one of those cases, the buyer shows up with curiosity or awareness before they ever speak to a human at your company. They've opted into the relationship.
That sounds ideal. I mean, honestly, it sounds easier. Who doesn't want people just showing up asking to buy? But the source also highlights a specific economic advantage here, this idea of a compounding effect.
This is so crucial, especially for any CFOs listening. inbound assets compound. Outbound is transactional. You make a call, you get a result, or you don't.
Right, yeah.
But a blog post you wrote 3 years ago, it can still be generating leads for you today with zero extra effort.
It's an asset versus an activity.
Exactly. You build brand authority, you build trust over the long term, and it lowers your cost of acquisition over time because that asset is already paid for.
Okay, so inbound is the magnet. It pulls people in. It sounds great, which, you know, it begs the question, why do we even bother with outbound?
Yeah.
If inbound is so efficient, isn't outbound just annoying people?
And that's the common criticism, right? If inbound is a magnet, outbound is a spear.
Right.
And nobody likes being poked with a spear. But the source argues that outbound isn't about annoyance, it's about precision.
The power of precision.
Mm.
Okay, but let's be real. Most people hear outbound and they just think spam. They think of their inbox filling up with generic junk from people asking for 15 minutes.
And bad outbound is spam. But the source material is very, very clear. We are not talking about spray and pray. We're talking about targeted, researched, thoughtful outreach.
Okay, so give me an example of what good outbound actually looks like, because I'm not sure I see it in my inbox that often.
Let's look at the targeted email example from the text. An SDR, sales development rep, doesn't just buy a list of 10,000 names and hit send. They research specific healthcare sauce accounts. They find an operations leader, and they notice that leader just posted on LinkedIn about a new compliance regulation.
So they use that as a trigger.
Exactly. They send a personalized email. Hey, I saw you're dealing with Regulation X. We actually just solved that for a company just like yours. Here's how.
That's not spam. That's consulting.
Exactly. And the recipient replies, or look at the social strategist. This is a sales rep who connects with a VP of finance. They don't pitch right away.
No.
They engage with that person's content for weeks. They become a familiar face in the comments. Then, and only then, do they send a tailored message.
So it's relationship building, just initiated by the seller.
Precisely. And then we have to talk about it. The cold call.
The thing everyone is terrified of doing.
And receiving. Yeah. But it works. Imagine reaching an IT director who wasn't actively looking for new software. They weren't Googling anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you call them and you sound like a peer, not a telemarketer. And you mention a problem they do have but haven't had time to fix yet.
You've interrupted them, but you interrupted them with value.
That is the bar. And the strategic advantage of outbound is control. With inbound, you are waiting for the phone to ring. You're at the mercy of Google's algorithm.
Right.
With outbound, you decide exactly who enters your funnel. If you need to sell to Fortune 500 manufacturing CTOs, they probably aren't reading your blog. You have to go get them.
So inbound is volume, outbound is control.
I'd say inbound is volume and intent. Outbound is control and precision.
Okay, so we've got the magnet and the spear. We have the leads coming in. Here's where I want to pause and pivot to the human element. Once we have the lead, whether they click the blog or answer the phone, do they act the same?
Short answer, absolutely not.
Because I feel like a lot of CRMs treat them the same. A lead is a lead is a lead.
And that is exactly why so many sales teams fail. The psychology is completely different. You cannot run the same play for both.
Okay, walk us through the mindset of the inbound lead. What are they like?
An inbound lead is problem aware, and a lot of times they're even solution aware. Remember, they Googled you. They've already done their homework.
Right.
When they get on a call, they ask specific questions. Does your API integrate with Salesforce? Or what's your pricing per seat?
They're already halfway down the funnel.
Yes. They convert faster once you engage them because they have all this momentum.
And the outbound lead.
Totally different beast. They might be problem unaware. You interrupted their Tuesday. They did not wake up thinking about your software.
So if you jump in talking about API integrations, you have lost them.
You've lost them immediately. With outbound, you have to sell the problem first. You have to educate them on why they should even care about this. They need more context.
They take longer to warm up.
Much longer. Because you are starting from zero trust. With inbound, the content built the trust for you. With outbound, you have to build it personally in real time.
That is a critical distinction for any sales managers listening. If you're measuring your outbound reps on the same time to close as your inbound reps, you're just setting them up to fail.
You're measuring apples against oranges. Outbound is a longer, harder road, but it can often lead to a much bigger destination.
Which leads us perfectly into the quality myth.
Mm-hmm.
There is this bias, I'll admit I have it, that says inbound leads are just inherently better. I mean, they wanted to talk to us. Surely that makes them higher quality.
It's a massive bias, and it feels true, but the source material really refutes it. The logic is simple. Source does not determine quality. Alignment determines quality.
Okay, play devil's advocate here. Why is the person who raised their hand not the best quality lead.
Okay, imagine an inbound lead. They downloaded your white paper. They're super excited. But it turns out it's a student doing a research project.
Ah.
Or it's a junior employee at a tiny company with zero budget authority.
High intent, zero fit.
Exactly. That's a low quality lead, even though they love your brand. Now, compare that to a highly targeted outbound lead. You've handpicked a director of operations at a company that perfectly matches your ideal customer profile.
Your ICP.
Right. They didn't know you. Maybe they were a little grumpy when you called, but they have the budget, the authority, and the exact problem you solve.
So low initial intent, but a perfect fit.
And that outbound lead is infinitely more valuable to the business once you win them over.
So quality isn't about how they arrived. It's about who they are.
Do not confuse eagerness with quality.
I love that. Okay, let's talk about the messy middle. We've separated these for the sake of the conversation, but the source calls this an ecosystem.
In the real world, these things do not live in silos. The best teams have them feeding each other. It's symbiotic.
How does that actually work? I mean, how does a cold call help a blog post?
Well, think about air cover. You send a cold email to a prospect. They might not reply. They might just delete it. But they saw your logo. They saw your name. Then, later that week, they have a problem. They're Googling something. And they see your name pop up in the search results. Because they recognize your name from that email, they're more likely to click.
So the outbound email planted a seed, but the harvest happened through an inbound channel.
Exactly. The attribution software will say SEO brought in this lead, but really, the cold email did the heavy lifting.
And I assume it works the other way around, too.
Oh, inbound aids outbound massively. We talked about the researcher earlier. If you have great case studies, great content, a smart sales rep uses that as ammunition.
Ah, okay.
Instead of just saying, can we meet, they send a relevant case study. Hey, saw you're in fintech. Here's how we helped another fintech company just like you.
It makes the cold outreach feel warm.
It borrows the credibility of the content.
But this must create a nightmare for attribution, right? If I'm a CMO trying to prove ROI, how do I know what actually worked?
You are welcome to the dark funnel. Modern B2B attribution is rarely clean. The source really emphasizes that you can't assign 100% credit to just one side.
It's always a mix.
Most deals involve multiple touch points across both channels. If you try to fight over who owns the lead, you're just creating a toxic culture.
So let's get practical. If I'm listening, maybe I'm a founder, maybe a head of growth, and I've limited resources, which one do I focus on? Or is that the wrong question to even ask?
It's the right practical question because you can't do everything at once. The source provides a pretty good matrix for this decision.
Okay, walk us through the matrix. When do I double down on inbound?
You focus on inbound when your buyers are actively researching online. If you're in an established category like CRM or project management, people are Googling.
They know the term.
They know the term. Also, if your product requires a lot of education and trust to sell like consulting or complex, SaaS inbound is king.
And you want that long-term compounding effect.
If you have the patience to wait for it, yes.
Okay, so when do I pivot and go hard on outbound?
When you need pipeline now, inbound takes time. SEO doesn't happen overnight. Outbound can generate meetings for you next week. But more importantly, you use outbound when you have a very narrow, very specific market.
The sniper approach.
Exactly. If there are only 50 companies in the entire world that can buy your product, say you sell software for nuclear power plants, you cannot wait for them to read your blog. You have to go knock on their doors.
That makes perfect sense. But the source's warning here is really strong.
Yeah.
Do not choose just one forever.
Isolation is so dangerous. If you go inbound only, your pipeline is unpredictable. You're at the mercy of Google's algorithm updates. You can't just turn up inbound volume if you're about to miss your quarterly number.
And outbound only.
It's hard to scale efficiently. It gets very expensive. You just have to hire more humans to make more calls. The unit economics get tough, and your performance relies so heavily on individual talent. If your best rep quits, your pipeline tanks.
So you need the stability of inbound and the control of outbound.
You need the whole engine.
Before we wrap, how do we measure this? Because if the psychology is different, we probably can't use the same ruler for both.
Right. For inbound, you're looking at consumption metrics. Growth in organic traffic, time on site, content-assisted pipeline. Are people consuming your stuff before they buy?
Okay. And outbound?
It's more activity-based. Reply rates, meetings booked per rep, show rates, and then ultimately conversion to a real opportunity.
So bringing it all together, we've gone from the 2 a.m. researcher to the cold calling sniper.
To sum it all up, inbound builds your long-term demand and your brand equity. It is the foundation of trust. Outbound provides short-term control and pipeline acceleration. It's the turbo boost.
And the winner of the battle is?
There is no winner. The winner is the organization that builds an intelligent system where they both work together. It is not inbound versus outbound. It's inbound plus outbound.
I like that. The peace treaty has been signed.
Signed, sealed, delivered. But.
There's always a but.
I do want to leave the listener with a final thought to mull over. We talked a lot about trust and organic connections being the hallmark of inbound.
Right. The human element of it.
Well, think about the rise of AI. We are seeing a flood of AI-generated blog posts, generic white papers, automated social content. The internet is just filling up with noise.
It is getting a lot harder to find the good stuff.
Exactly. So here's the provocation. If everyone can generate infinite inbound content, does the value of that inbound content drop? And if inbound becomes this sea of robotic noise, does the human connection of outbound, a real person calling you to solve a real problem, actually become the more premium organic experience?
Wow. So the interruption becomes the only real human interaction left.
It's possible. When everything is automated, the human touch, even if it starts as a cold call, might become the luxury good. Just something to think about as you build your revenue engine.
That is going to keep me up tonight. Oh. Thank you for that. And thank you to everyone listening for diving deep with us. We will catch you on the next one.
See you then.